coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And, you know, the foreign invasion of the United States that's being allowed to happen at the southern border is treasonous. At Hagman PI, I've got an article about that, about Owen Schroyer, of course, being down there. Yeah, I'm not so sure that's pre or post jail time. But regardless, it's effective, and he said what I said. I would just look at him and say what he said, basically. It is treasonous, and we are in trouble. Of course, along with this communist cue ball, Mayorkas, and his cognitively impaired boss, really both of them are responsible for, and Blinken too, I suppose, throw Blinken in there, you know. Blinken, I should add, is not a lobbyist, but he used to be a consultant. If he would have been a lobbyist, classified as a lobbyist, he wouldn't be allowed to be anywhere near the State Department or any foreign policy. And foreign policy is what we're going to be talking about a little bit today with Stan Dale from standale.com. You're listening to and watching the Hagman Report. Today is Tuesday, December 19th, 2023, in the year of our Lord. Just 6 days away from Christmas, the holy celebration of Christmas. Look, folks, I get it. It's not Jesus' birthday on the 25th of December. I understand Saturnalia. I understand all of that. But let us not forget the birth of our Lord and Savior. As Christians, of course, let's really, really consider the time of year and consider the our Christian brothers and sisters who are being persecuted all over the world. We tend to forget about that. And speaking of that, associated with that, of course, is the Middle East. And then, of course, domestic threats here, which I want to mention very quickly before I bring Stan Dale on. Folks, if you haven't done so already, and even if you have, I want you to tell other people about this, because the more people that have these, at least in my view, my research, the less stress there will be post-event EMP, post-EMP event. And that is the EMP Shield. Go to empshield.com/Hagman. Use Hagman as the coupon code for $50 off. Folks, you need these to protect your circuitry of your house, to prevent fires, to, you know, the Carrington event a century and a half ago. Now, hey, I'll tell you what, from the sun, created caused some fires. Well, think of what could happen today, and as well as your delicate electronics inside your home. So, folks, please, empshield.com, use promo code Hagman. Eric Detect, I get that wrong, /Hagman?
They're both active.
Okay, all right.
I think /Hagman is an auto.
Okay.
Coupon code, they both work.
All right, thank you. I have to double check my work nowadays, okay? But seriously, an EMP shield is good. If folks, look, things are expensive right now. Christmas is coming, and although you may not receive, you probably would not receive this by Christmas, wouldn't it be great, Mrs. Smith, if you could tell your husband, Mr. Smith, that, hey, one is on the way for the house, another one for the generator, or whatever it might be. I think it's a good idea. I'd accept that as a Christmas gift. You could even put it the receipt in a big box and throw some bricks in it. No, I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying. It's a practical investment. EMPshield.com. Stan Dale is with me. I don't want to take any more time from Stan. Stan, how are you, sir? Nope. We don't have your audio.
My audio?
There we go. Now we got your audio.
Sorry, yeah, I'm very, very good. Thank you, and I hope you are, too.
Yeah,
I'm doing you and Eric well. Both.
Yeah, we're both doing well. Thank you, and you and Holly and the dog. God bless you. You do so much work. Folks, go to standale.com. Check out his page. Make sure you bookmark that every day. The work that Stan does, Holly does, the work they do together is just incredible. Dare to Prepare. Please get your copy of that if you don't have that already. Time is short. Stan, go ahead, sir. I don't want to take your time.
All right. The show images page that you can link to off of our website, standale.com, I will be addressing some of those cells on there, or what do you call them? Anyway, they're things that are topics I'll be talking about, and they have a number on them on the show images page. So if you have a chance, get over and look at the show images page to follow images and text about what I'm talking about. I think the most important thing, Doug, at the moment is the Middle East situation. And it's a situation that's not purely for Israel. It includes the United States. And we are being sucked into supporting Israel with military action, even though this White House is reluctant to do that because of the election year coming. But there are already a number of warships and military assets over in the Middle East and around the area there to defend U.S. troops, which, you know, there have been nearly 100 attacks on U.S. troops since the 6 October issue. And most of them have been by Iranian proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, Houthis down in Yemen. So,
do people understand that? I mean, it seems like that's rarely spoken about, the attacks on U.S. troops.
Well, if they don't watch Fox News, I guess they're not going to see it, or Newsmax. I know a lot of people kind of go, Middle East, oh, yawn. Can we talk about something else, you know? It's very important that you follow the Middle East situation, especially Saudi Arabia, Iran, Israel, and Syria, because Syria, the whole country, in essence, is a proxy of Iran, especially at Damascus, where there are 10 weapon storage bases or facilities that we know of around Damascus, which store, you know, short-range missiles. And if they get a nuclear missile from Russia or from Iran, it'll be stored there. You need to look at these things in the news every day. You ought to bookmark it with Google News or Bing News or whatever news you use to look for articles about Mohammed bin Salman, the Prince of Saudi Arabia, about Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law, who is one of the architects, including Mohammed bin Salman, of the Abraham Accords in the Middle East to bring peace to the nations there. Now, Mohammed bin Salman is already, while we've been asleep here over the last few months, maybe even a couple of years, he's been forming a 40-nation consortium of Arab nations to fight terrorism. And on the surface, when you hear that, if you don't know better, you think, oh, well, we're right. The nations over there, the Arabs, are going to fight terrorism like we are. No. Their definition of a terrorist is somebody against Islam. And that's the big state, United States, and the little Satan, Israel. They've formed this coalition against terrorism using the Western meaning for the word, thinking that it's, you know, terrorists from Iran. And they have formed an army against us over there, you know, while we slept. And now then that army is firing on our assets over in the Red Sea and, into Israel. I cannot stress enough how important the situation is in the Middle East, including fulfilling biblical prophecy. I'm pretty sure, as Holly has outlined in her book, and as the Bible has told us to look for, this is a Psalm 83 war that she speaks about in prophetic perils. Now, the Abraham Accords, which is still being researched or done by Jared Kushner and Mohammed bin Salman behind the scenes is these two guys are like brothers. You know, the press calls them the princes, you know, the princelings of the Middle East. And between them, they are moving billions of dollars to fund various projects, allegedly for peaceful development, you know, business plans in Israel and the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia, obviously. If you look at slide 53 on my show images page, if you click on the text, you'll see that their relationship in the press, Jared Kushner and Mohammed bin Salman, is mighty. I mean, they are just like family. And I've tried to trace Jared Kushner's lineage, but I can only get to the point where his father came in from Europe through Ellis Island, or his grandfather. And that was the Berkowitz family, not the Kushner family. They changed their name to Kushner at that time, which I find interesting because Kushner is a derivative of the name for the European Kush with a K that was Iran. And for them to choose that name is makes me wonder if they do have some sort of lineage, even though it's Berkowitz, their family name, to the tribe of Dan. There's been a lot of migration from northern Israel over to Iran, and the tribe of Dan was in the northern Israel position. So,
are you saying that Kushner and Kush, C-U-S-H, right?
K-U-S-H.
K-U-S-H. There's a relationship there? I mean, is that your thought process? Because I find that interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why they chose that name.
Out of all the names, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Kush, when I discovered the Garden of Eden, one of the great rivers went around Iran, or Kush. And, you know, I was able to outline the borders of it by all the towns around the edge of Iran that have start with a name of Kish, Kush, Kashan. And they are the border state, the border cities of the ancient Iranian or Kush nation now. I don't know. You know, Nimrod, his descendants went into that area as well. And, of course, the alleged Tower of Babel was in Iraq, just bordering Iran. Anyway, Kush was an interesting, or Kushner was an interesting choice of name for the family. Now, Jared Kushner is a bright young man. I've watched a video about an hour and a half, 2 hours that he made as a podcast with Lex Friedman. And they were talking about the Middle East situation, Palestine, Israel, Gaza, Iran, et cetera, et cetera. And you can see that in slide 52. If you click on the text, it will take you to the actual interview. If you click on the picture, it'll take you to some pictures of points he made during the speech. He has a solution. I'm going to summarize it. He has a solution that he's using to do the Abraham Accords, and that is from his financial background studies, he makes business plans for how to solve, let's say, Qatar or Yemen or whatever states he gets to sign into the Abraham Accords. He says, okay, let's make this business plan, a five-year plan for you, and we'll get funding to you, Mohammed bin Salman and myself, we'll get funding to you, but we'll monitor your progress in this. But at the end of it, you will be ahead, you'll have world support, blah, 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 blah. So he's using business plan logic to solve getting various Arab nations that are at war with Israel, you know, idealistically or, you know, in thought, and getting them to sign the Abraham Accords. Now, his solution that he poses in the video at slide 52, his solution is, okay, let's finish Hamas, let's get rid of it, and let's turn Gaza back over to the Palestinian Liberation Authority, and let's make a business plan for the reconstruction of Gaza under trustworthy rulership, BLA, under Mahmoud Abbas. You can see him in slide 50. Now, he holds a card that Saudi Arabia and Israel may use to bring a peaceful solution to the Gaza war very shortly and to totally eliminate Hamas and to put restrictions on the new Gaza, new Palestine, as to what they can and can't do, and give them deadlines and objectives to achieve over the next 5 or 10 years, maybe 7 years, who knows. Anyway, this is his solution, Jared Kushner's solution. Now, in the background, Mohammed bin Salman, Prince of Saudi Arabia, has put $2 billion into a fund for Jared to use to set up new companies in Israel and the Middle East to accommodate the expansion of the Abraham Accords and the signatures. The two of them are thick as thieves about looking for a digital world economy, about looking at modern cities that are, totally self-contained and, use digital money and social currency and that kind of stuff for its people. I mean, Israel's already built a couple of cities like that now. So all these things are leading up to a world government, and I can see no other people on the world stage at the moment that are better suited for Antichrist, false prophet situation in the Middle East. I don't know which one, MBS or Jared Kushner would be either one, if any, but the evidence does seem to support that, because the elephant in the room in the Middle East is Mohammed bin Salman with his 40-nation consortium against terrorism. Now, in slide 54, another thing that points at Jared Kushner, a Qatari company invested $200 million in Kushner's fund as well. Now, why is that interesting? Well, they're holding the talks with Hamas over in Qatar, they're supporting Jared Kushner's idea about this the settlement of the Hamas situation in Gaza, and so he's sitting there in the middle, mediating with the Qataris, the Israelis, the Hamas in Qatar, which is it's strange. I mean, he's just in the middle of everything in the background. So that article tells you that he's well connected currently with the peace process in the Middle East and where it's going. I mean, Saudi Arabia has tremendous leverage in the area with its 40-nation consortium, with its deals with Russia and China over driving the price of oil up, like cutting down oil production. And so they have, in Saudi Arabia, tremendous weapons, leverage weapons, to get Israel to have a peace treaty with the Palestinians and get rid of Hamas and that kind of stuff. So in slide 49, you can read an article there about this, how the foreign minister there of Saudi Arabia is making influential moves to get Israel to agree to a two-state viable peace process. It's just amazing. Now, I see that picture up there. It's so important to follow the Middle East situation because it's going to affect us, the United States. We are a target for insurrection, invasion, which is already happening, and for nuclear and ground attacks from Russia and China. They need to take us out because they and the Middle East see the United States as a big brother looking after Israel. Without us there in our production, Israel blows away in the dust of the wind, just gone. So that's why we're targeted. It's important for you to watch this because it's coming to your neighborhood right now. Any moment, we can start seeing the terrorist attacks here taking down our infrastructure, our power, our food, our transport, the government, communications. It's just a time you can't be asleep. So as long as you can, while we still have internet and access to the news, keep an eye on the Middle East. Now, in slide 51 on my Show Images page, I talk about Jared Kushner again. The rumors are that if Trump wins the election in November next year, that he will make Jared Kushner the Secretary of State for the United States. Boy.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is this not incredible? Is it not incredible? I mean, it's happening right before us, fulfilling prophecy, just step by step, just like a juggernaut, you know, bang, bang, bang. And
newspaper in one hand, the Bible in the other, folks. There it is, you know.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. And you know, yeah. So I focus on these things because they are important. I'll diverge just a bit on the attacks on northern Israel. In northern Israel, it has kind of, well, in fact, look at slide 37. You know, I think you can see it in that. Click on the picture. You can see the outline of Israel by a blue kind of line in the north there up against the Lebanon. And you, if you zoom up the map in the middle where it says Manara, you can see the western side of the Lebanon and the Lebanon mountains, which are above it. But it, the place called Manara, you can see this green topographic indication of great height. There's a large height there, like a hill, but it runs for several miles. And in the middle of it, on the topmost point, looking over Lebanon to help Israel defend against attacks from Lebanon, from Hezbollah, is a kibbutz named Manara. It's M-E-N-A-R-A or M-A-N-A-R-A. And it was set up by former Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin 6 years before he was assassinated. Well, long before that, anyway. 6 years before he was assassinated, I actually stayed overnight at his kibbutz to meet with the Navy there to pass some technology to them that I've been developing. And if you look at slide 38, at the two pictures there, you can zoom them up. This is from Google Earth showing how steep that cliff is there to kibbutz Manara. And you can look down further down the page there, Eric. There's a bigger picture of it there. Okay, just so you can see the dramatic slopes there. And while I was there, staying in the kibbutz overnight, down in the valley below, a number of Christians were killed in a great fight with the Muslims in that valley below. Several hundred people died while I slept up on that hillside. And recently, since October 6th, a couple of missiles have been lobbed into this kibbutz as well. Now, I met with the naval representative, young officer, in the day room of this kibbutz in the evening, just he and I and one or two other people, so we could have a private conversation, and where I turned over some information on submarine propulsion and various other things that would help the Israeli Navy. In slide 39 on this page, 39 just shows a view, real view, photographic view at ground level, looking over the fields of the kibbutz down into the valley below of Lebanon. That's how close the war is to this kibbutz and to northern Israel. And the high ground here is a good place to have strategically and tactically. So anyway, this I feel an affinity for this location, having been there, and at the same time that several hundred Christians were killed just down the slope from me overnight. Terrible thing, terrible thing.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that's kind of enough on Middle East.
Well, yeah, the message, I think, folks, keep your eyes on the Middle East, period. I mean, because I believe Israel is God's timepiece.
Yes.
And it'll tell you the season, of course, you know, that in which we find ourselves. Go ahead, sir.
Well, we're probably pressing up to a break here. How long have we got on this next segment here?
Well, I'll tell you what, let's stop. You know, I spoke about EMP shields initially and how important it is to protect your equipment, especially in the case of an EMP. Folks, do that, because I'm telling you right now, the lights are going to go out. There it is on your screen. Go to empshield.com. Use promo code Hagman for $50 off. Makes a great Christmas gift. Please protect your equipment. Do that. Because, well, otherwise, hey, you could have a fire in the wiring. You could lose all of your delicate equipment. And obviously, we don't want that to happen. Now, speaking of protection, I've got another solution for you. And I want to thank our sponsors and people that support this broadcast. One of them is virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. How often, folks, have you seen ads pop up on websites, social media about things that you just talked about? You've seen it. I know you have. It's real and it's creepy as hell. Don't tell me otherwise. You know, phone manufacturers and even now car manufacturers. Yes. How do I know this? Because I do my research, have confirmed. But I can tell you this, phone manufacturers themselves confirm that your phone listens to you. And the information is used to build customer databases, marketing profiles to show you relevant ads. Of course, that's the non-nefarious use of this. But folks, think about the other uses, okay? I'm telling you, think about the other uses. That's why tens of thousands protect their privacy with Virtual Shield. Virtual Shield is an all-in-one security suite with their flagship military-grade VPN, identity theft protection, and much more. It offers unlimited bandwidth and device support that allows you to have a seamless and secure browsing experience across all of your devices, from computers to smartphones. Plus, it has industry-leading kill switch technology that ensures your data stays encrypted even if the VPN's connection drops. That's right. It's that good. Most importantly, Virtual Shield has a strict no-log policy to help guarantee your online activities. They stay confidential. You know, I never want to hear you say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I don't know. No, this is to protect you from every threat out there. There was just, in fact, you know what? Let me show you this. Can you take that off for a second? Look at this. This is this week's Epoch Times newspaper. And on the front page is a picture of a cell phone. Your nephew is in jail. Your package is at customs. Your bank account was hacked. An iPhone was ordered in your name. Your mother's in the hospital. We've kidnapped your wife, and on and on and on. And I'll bet you $100 right now that you've got a call of a scam call of some kind on your cell phone. And the headline is Americans are being scammed in more complex ways than ever, folks. That's why I love virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN, two ends on Hagman. Now is the best time ever to get Virtual Shield because every new signup gets a 60-day risk-free trial, unlimited data access across all your devices, access to Virtual Shield's 24/7 customer support, and much more. Folks, sign up today for free before this offer ends by going to virtualshield.com/Hagman. Once again, that's virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. I'm sorry, that's HagmanVPN, two ends on Hagman. virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN, virtualshield.com/HagmanVPN. Do it today. And you will thank me later. I promise you on that. And it works well, too. It goes well with your protection with an EMP shield. I'm telling you, we're all about solutions. These are solutions. There you go. Standale is my guest. Folks, bookmark Standale, standale.com. And speaking of stuff that, yeah, you know what you need? Dare to prepare, prophetic perils. There's so many things at standale.com. So many intellectual products, as I like to call them, that you would benefit by. Yeah, I'm telling you that you need to know. And if you think, oh, I've seen, I've heard it, I know this, well, maybe that special person in your life hasn't. So go to standale.com and shop away there. Click on the appropriate links there to prepare. EMP Shield, Cosmic Conspiracy. it's mega relevant today, and much, much more. So that's standale.com. Stan, go ahead, sir. Thank you for the allowance of your time.
No problem. There are some things going on in the world that are part of a global phenomenon with increased activity in earthquakes and volcanoes. I'm sure you've seen on the news about the volcano in Iceland at the Reykjanes. Anyway.
Yeah, I almost called you up. I'm serious. When I saw that, I almost called you up and said, okay, talk to me about this.
Yeah. You can see in slides 46 through 48, I've got links to that, pictures. You can click on the pictures and see this huge eruption. And just 2.5 miles away from the edge of that lava flow is a little coastal town called Grindavik. And it is threatened with being overrun, just covered with a lava flow. And if you were in Grindavik and watching that coming toward you, I think it'd be time to get out of Dodge. Frightening stuff. I mean, they learn to live with it, but at the moment, this little fishing town is about to experience a lot of trouble with that. There have been earthquakes for some time. Yeah. And slide 48, I put a text in there. The lava is flowing at a rate of 100 to 200 cubic meters per second, it said. Now, that means, you know, thick-wise, you know, up, down, left, right, and forward, it's really flowing quite rapidly. And at that rate, it's going to go to the sea and form a cooled mount off the coast there. The trick will be to save the people of the town. I don't think they can do anything else than that. Now, in slide 46, if you click on that on the picture, you will see a 3D image underneath that magma flow, that volcano there. And all the white dots are earthquakes they've recorded over the last few months, intensifying where the bright white areas are. And you can see in the upper right part of there, you know, various hot spots at the top right-hand corner, moving back over to where the earthquakes are. Now, you can get a better view of this, Eric, if you click on the text and go over to the 3D modeling panel for that. And when you get there, it'll load a 3D model for you, and you'll be able to click with your mouse, hold it, and turn it around so you can see where these earthquakes are under the Iceland volcano. I found it quite fascinating to see that these earthquakes, you know, are definitely precursors of what's going to happen above. There you go. Isn't that incredible? It's a wonderful asset to have, I guess, to tell you when you're going to fry or something. But the clue here is, look at all these earthquakes. Now, there are thousands of them. And that brings me to the United States, to the Long Valley Caldera at Mammoth Lake in California. One of the world's most dangerous, the Long Valley Caldera could be at risk of exploding after a range of tremors and clues hint at the volcano's activity. If you click on the text, you get to the article. But it's telling you that we're going to see action in the huge mammoth volcano. And they don't know when. Obviously, it's hard to predict these things. But because, and the article you can see there, because of the increased activity since 2017, it's been getting worse and worse. We may be like Iceland, have a little bit of surprise over there. I think on that picture that you're on, rather than the article, you can scroll down, I believe. Yeah. And that's where the ground is bulging in the center of that what's called a resurgent dome. And just down underneath that is a topographic map of the area to show you the dome. That's where we're looking at a possible eruption.
Mm.
Not good. Not good.
Look at that. I mean, okay. What would So if that went off, what would happen in your estimation if it was significant?
Significant would be it would throw, you know, several thousand feet of ash all over the place.
Mount St. Helens significant?
Yeah, and of course, being in the Southern California region, it's going to probably trigger the San Andreas Fault down there and all the way up into Oregon, or just south of Oregon at the Eureka. Anyway, it's where the Mendocino Fault Line comes in. The ash fall from it will go southwesterly, west and southwesterly across the southern United States, and it's going to throw ash over everybody if it does happen. Ash is hard to deal with if you don't have something to protect your lungs, filters to breathe through. You'll get little glass shards, little tiny things in the ash. It's, you know, micro glass, you know, shards that will damage your lung and eventually kill you. So just thinking about an ash fall is one thing, you know, being you know, inconvenient and having to be swept off the road or whatever. The other thing is it can kill you. So this is a thing that we have to pay attention to in the United States, in addition to, you know, the threat of civil war, of invasion by Russia and China and Iran. These are not peaceful times. These are not times for you to go, you know, get in your latte and have your normal way of life. You're going to have to prepare for immediate terrorist activity in this country. Many agencies, Homeland Security and others in DOD, are telling people the red signals, the red flags are going off everywhere. We are about to be hit by terrorist attacks, not one, but several. And the government that is running this country has allowed thousands, if not 10,000, soldier-age men to come in from various countries from all over the world, especially China and Iran, to come into the country through the border without being stopped. And all they need to do is get over here because the weapons for them to use against us are already in the country. The drug cartels, I'm sure, if no one else can supply them the weapons they need to attack us. So, now, other things that are of interest to the United States at the moment are our weather. Now, we're in the worst El Nino pattern that the United States has seen, well, the world, for that matter, but what affects us, in 75 years. It's getting to a peak.
So for the people who don't know, El Nino, what is that?
Okay, it's a blockage of warm water currents. In fact, click on the map there and slide to... what do we call it here? Oh, my glasses have come off. All right. Anyway, click on slide 44 on the picture. All right. Now, you see that that hot kind of reddish arm going over from the left to the northern part of South America. That, when we see that, that is an oscillation of the heat of the ocean in that area. And when that comes like this, instead of like La Nina, which is the normal thing of late, it makes very severe weather in the United States and South America, and to a degree over in Africa as well. You see more in Colorado, for instance, we're seeing more rain, more snow, more extremes, and more heat than normal because of the El Nino effect, this southern decadal oscillation, they call it. So you can look up El Nino and La Nina.
Okay.
You see what I'm talking about.
When you say more severe weather, warmer weather, for example, where you're at, where I'm at in the north, where I'm at in the north, it'll be warmer than usual because of the warm water, or just crappier weather because of the warm water? I mean,
in some places it will be warmer, but definitely crappy weather, to use your phrase, is going to be the norm. There's going to be extremes of temperature, hot and cold, all over the planet, and it's going to reverse a lot of the local, for this time of year, weather conditions and climate. Like here, we're looking at warm days now. When we've had snow, but we're in the 60s. But then next week we'll be down maybe in the 50s. But this is too warm for this time of year for us. Yeah, it's going to be the same for a lot of people.
Same up here. We just, for example, today, we just, over the night, we got maybe an inch of snow, if that. Usually right about now, well, we'd be shoveling our butts off for the last couple of weeks. Now we're not, you know, so... but now this is caused by, what is that caused by?
Well, it's caused by the warm water currents being changed, being blocked. I think it's probably from solar activity indirectly causing the waters to warm unseasonably, and with our attitude to the sun, it may also increase the El Nino effect.
Okay, not cow farts or anything like that. No.
No.
All right.
I used to use this map. It's called the Sea Surface Temperature Anomaly Map. I used it to look from day to day in the changes of the anomalous heat and cooling in the oceans on the coastal areas of the major continents, and I could predict earthquakes, you know, probably 70% of the time within a week before they happen, because these temperature changes cause stresses in the tectonic plates. Now I can't do it because the data I was using, in addition to that map from the Navy at Fenmac and Monterey, is no longer available to the public, sadly. But yes, expect increasingly strong weather. And why, you're saying? Well, it's the sun. I mean, click on slide 40, the picture. That's yesterday evening's picture of the sun. And the white lines are the magnetic field lines that go from, you know, active regions to active regions. You can see in the top left corner that that group of active regions, the sunspots together, they are jumping over toward the middle of the screen, and also across the equator of the sun to a sunspot group in the lower left. Mm-hmm. This is causing that part of the sun to squeeze a bit, and it's going to trigger, I think, in the next few days, maybe the next 5 days, some more coronal mass ejections and X-class flares. We had one X-class flare this week that, or, you know, when I say this week, probably the last 3 or 4 days, that sent a coronal mass ejection at us, and then a second one hit it, you know, two of them coming, and then they disappeared. They were coming for us, but they didn't arrive. We don't know where they went or what happened. Maybe they canceled each other. I'm not sure. Look at the picture in slide 41. This is the same picture as what we just looked at, except this is showing the hot spots, the really intense heating. This frequency of analysis shows you the really hot spots. And, you know, Blind Freddy could see that what's coming around on the left is white hot. There's nasty things coming our way within 5 days. Now, the sun in the middle here spins around once every 28 days. So if you put your cursor in the middle of the sun and look left, then the things that are over here on this side will be here within 5 days, you know, roughly. That's how you can calculate it on the spin rate. Now, the higher you go up or lower in latitudes on here, it's the orbital time is slower. It might be 30 days. Up, you know, 29 to 30 days where these major active regions are. So it'll be between 5 and 7 days that we'll see this be Earth-directed and stay Earth-directed for a couple of days to throw flares, EMP events or something at us. But we're not going to escape that. Now, look at slide 42 of the picture. Although we don't have all of the sun, we have what's left from one satellite. And it does say that... we've got some holes in the sun, the dark areas, which are emitting extra solar wind right now, which affects our weather, which affects global warming and intense weather and the El Nino effect. And to the left, you see two large groups of active regions moving toward us, toward the center there, being Earth-directed. I think that we're going to see radio and communications interruptions as a result of this. Okay, now, before I get too far down the...
So what you're saying is if your Christmas lights that are supposed to be on all the time begin to blink and stay blinking for a day or two, that could be why.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah, I know. I know. I, I wonder what we're going to do when our communications are interrupted by EMPs from the sun or EMPs from nuclear bombs. People are going to be little islands. You know, you're going to need to have your own power supply, your own EMP shields, and supplies. You know, people need to prepare for shortages at the store. I'm already seeing prices that I can't believe in the grocery store. And the gas pump came down a bit, but not a lot. But the Saudis and the Russians, and to a degree the Chinese, but the Russians and the Saudis are trying to drive the price of oil up. And this is just crippling the United States. They've looked at the United States, who the planners are, who want to bring America down, and they've looked at our weakness. It's money, it's finance, it's energy. And so they're hitting us on energy production ourselves, you know, so we can't have the energy from the ground underneath us. They're hitting us on energy production overseas because we can't afford it. If we do, it runs our national debt beyond what we can afford completely at this point in time. Anyway, it's a terrible thing to watch. We're in slow motion decline. Anyway. I wanted a lighter note here. I'll just do this before we finish up the major part here. Slide 45 takes you to the Webb Telescope and to the image there. And it's talking about Uranus, this outermost planet of our system. And it shows, I put two pictures together. One is a kind of a pullback picture on the left showing the rings around Uranus. I thought, wow, I didn't realize it had that many rings. And then also how many satellites it has, 27 moons around it. 9 of them are shown in this picture. So since the Webb telescope has become a thing, we've been able to see these extra moons on Uranus and these rings. I don't know if we know how many rings it's got, but it's got a lot. Leave Saturn in the dust.
Wow.
Anyway.
I never knew Uranus had rings.
What can I say?
Don't they have bleaching stuff? Folks, I'm sorry about that, but that's rather interesting. Okay.
Well, I just wanted to share that with you because it's been, we've been talking about a lot of heavy stuff, but this is just some of the oh yeah comments, about astronomy and stuff that interests me, and I share that with you folks because it interests me.
And the rings are composed of dust, right?
Dust and ice. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's so far out that it's a lot of it is ice. But ask yourself, why do these rings form? Why aren't they shells? Why are they rings around the equatorial spin of the planet? There's a lot of things that questions it makes you ask.
It's like
the spinning planet is producing shockwaves in the fluid of space. It's like a stirring rod in a bucket of paint. If you spin it, you'll get these little circular ripples going out to the edge of the paint bucket and back. This just accents the fluid nature of space.
Have they always been there and we just didn't see them
Oh, we just didn't have the accuracy of imagery. Right. Yeah, I don't think they're new things, but and if you want to see some interesting photos
to Tech Uranus has always been dusty and icy. Just to let you know, so don't seek doctor's advice. Okay,
you guys are bad.
I didn't
bad,
say that.
Bad, bad.
All right.
Oh, Lord.
You know what, folks? It's heavy, right? I mean, things are heavy. Standale.com. Go there for the information. A lot of great information. But the fact is, sometimes you just have to, be lighthearted about it because, why not, right? But very interesting observations all, really, from the volcanoes, earthquakes, to the sun, to the planets. And there's so much that we're learning now. Well, how great is that? That's fabulous. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think we're going to make it to the election this year before America is destroyed?
Here's what I think. I think we can expect the unexpected. I think what we think is going to happen probably won't. I'm concerned. You've got Jack Smith and others attempting to imprison President Trump, and that could inflame the population. Again, folks, I wrote an article at HagmanPI.com. Okay, I'm sick and tired of using the Shakespeare word cuckold. I'm sick and tired of the populace being a bunch of, again, referencing Shakespeare cuckolds. We need to stand up and we need to fix this. And no one's going to do it for us. It's up to us. Okay. And I can't think of... So if we don't fix it, if we roll over, if we believe, Stan, answer your question, then I'll shut up. If we believe, for example, that, everything's going to be normal and we're having a normal election, just like we did in 2020, 2022. No, I think we're just deluding ourselves. I think we need to stand up and say, you know what, you're going to do it right. And we're going to be watching. And I don't know. I can't see Biden, them, because of the poll difference or because of the... Well, let me ask you. I mean, Biden is losing in the polls to President Trump, who's facing essentially life in prison, okay, if the left had their way. And he's winning... Biden is losing. Are they going to let that stand? And if
now look, if they do something to hurt Trump, to put him in jail or whatever, we're going to see that the extreme right in this country, I guess I'm not the extreme, but I'm certainly the right of the spectrum, that they're going to raise up an army and say you can't lock up President Trump. This is illegal, and we're taking you out of office. It's called for extraordinary measures like the Boston Tea Party, except it'll be a little bit more serious this time. I say that having visited with the Hopi in 1996 with the prophecy keepers down there, and they said, look, you're going to have a civil war. It's going to be between various ideologies, religion, politics, financial, racial, and all of these different facets to this civil war are going to just totally weaken the United States. And when that happens, and they even try to put martial law on the country to quell this, then the China and Russia and Iranian consortium is going to attack the United States at its weak point, nuke a number of cities, destroy them, and then put land troops in. And they will occupy the United States for a short time, and then suddenly will withdraw all their people from the United States and never come back. Don't know why. They didn't know why. But all these things that they told us about 96 are happening now. I remember asking him at the time, when is this going to happen? And he crossed his arms and he said, soon. So we have a joke in the house about Hopi soon. I mean, anyway.
I think we are in the most dangerous, as a nation, even as a world, I think this is the most dangerous time in history, in recent history anyway, in my lifetime. And I don't know. And I think people who say this is what's going to happen, I question that, because how would you know? And because of the... because of the uncertainty out there, and the hair triggers. I think people are on hair triggers everywhere, nation states and proxies as well as people. So anyway, that's my thought. I don't know, but if I woke up tomorrow and if I ever go to sleep, but if I woke up and they said, hey, there's martial law, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know what, Stan? Our biggest healthcare system in the U.S. our biggest healthcare system here, UPMC. What a bunch of schmucks you folks are! Okay, effective December 20th, everyone's got to wear masks at UPMC health systems. Okay. Well, okay, why the 20th? Why not the 21st? Why not the 19th if it's that bad? Okay, seriously. Don't get me started, okay? And because of the respiratory virus that's out there. It's bad. It's bad. Stan, you know, the reason I brought that up is because it's just, to me, it's a symptom of people just kind of, some people are giving up. Some people say, well, you know what? It's just a mask. Other people understand what it means. It's a submission control. And I think that relates to what you were talking about. I'm going to shut up now because I'm going to get in trouble. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you know, the reason you and I do these kind of shows is to share information with our listeners and with the people that they share the show with, to tell them, you know, to show them the events of this time, where it is in biblical prophecy. And because of that, the need for being saved needs to be put forward to people. All of us on this show and most of our listeners are Christians who believe that our Messiah, Jesus, is coming back for his bride at some point in time to deliver them from this terrible place, to protect them and deliver them up to the heavens, to be rearmed and come back and fight evil here with weapons that will really work and in bodies that are a lot better than these. So it is important that we stress to you, if you're a listener here, read the Bible if you haven't already. Start reading in the New Testament, in the Book of John, perhaps. There's a number of places to see that Jesus is real. I've proven that the Garden of Eden is real. The Bible is a historical document. It's not nonsense.
Man, thank you for doing what, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, Stan. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for what you've done. To me, I think and folks, you know, Chris, look, I don't know if Stan could ship the stuff out to you before Christmas, but, you know, the Garden of Eden documentary, what a gift to give to someone, especially if someone that you know is struggling with their faith. You've done more, I think, than most people have to help people with their faith in God, their walk with God in life. And I thank you. And you are a gentle man. And thank you for that. And an intellectual and a scientist, the real Indiana Jones. Thanks for doing what you've done. And that's what this is all about. It's our walk with God. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
How much time we got left in this segment?
I just burned away. If we got 4 minutes.
4 minutes. Okay. All right. Well, anyway, you were saying about to get the Eden documentary. I've got, let me just see if it's called Standale Lectures, and you can certainly order it on our website. It is important, and there are other things I have. It's free videos to my Patreon subscribers about Garden of Eden, about Atlantis being where the giants were formed by fallen angels mating with our women, you know, and making them the little g gods of Greek mythology. And that's an interesting side event that I found when we were going to Israel, is that there are at least 10, maybe more, what they call Decapolis cities that the Greeks set up in Israel to honor their little g gods, like, you know, Hercules, that kind of stuff. And why, you ask yourself, why did the Greeks put these cities there to worship their gods in Israel if there weren't something there? And I found Atlantis, and I found that the crossbreeding produced the giants, and some of them were left over after the flood, which is why when Joshua was told to take Israel into the promised land to kill certain villages totally, all living things in there had polluted genetic structure, animals, people, babies, whatever, to kill them, burn it to the ground, was to get rid of that hybrid seed from the fallen angels breeding with our women. So, yeah, this fits in with, you know, more of the lore of Atlantis, you know, that it's popularized. But Atlantis was, you know, Saudi Arabia, basically, was only one of 12 places where these fallen angels landed and set up their culture. And